Welcome to Minor Rex. I'm Dave. I'm here with Jamie and Joel and Tony, and we're here to talk about streaming services today. We subscribe to them. You subscribe to them. Some of them are free at the library, which we'll get to in a minute. But first, we want to talk about what it was like, what it is now, what's confusing, what makes more sense, what makes less sense. And so let's start talking about cable. I don't know about all of you. There's a lot of talk of cable cutters out there, cord cutters. I still have cable. I am still subscribed to cable. I have to because my HOA requires it, and it causes a lot of problems in my life. Although there is a reason that I still have cable, and that is wrestling. Wrestling is only available on USA and Fox now, live on those live channels. But otherwise, I also have streaming services on top of cable, and I don't know what you guys have at home, but what do you think? Are we better off now than we were before? Are we worse off now?
Well, how much does your cable cost per month?
I don't know.
Okay. Because it's just bundled in
It's in my HOA assessment. Okay. I just pay a big check every month, and part of that goes towards cable. I could drill down into the budget if I were bored one day, but I have not. So I don't know how much it costs.
But I remember the resistance that I had of the bloat of the huge cost of of cable. And and I referenced it like an aircraft carrier. It was just so huge, and it had so many different things, and I only used it for a few different things. I wanted a way to narrow it down. I didn't want to spend, like I was spending, you know, with Comcast, I switched out of that and went to AT&T UVerse for a while, and that was like $140 for what I wanted. And I'm a big sports fan, so I like the MLB TV. Your wrestling is my Big Ten network. Sure. Like everywhere I go has to have Big Ten network because I like Big Ten sports. So I exited the cable arena and went into streaming with DirecTV Now. And a nice thing about that was it was no contract. Like you could try it and then cancel out of it. And it was more flexible and mobile. And you could pick your package. And even that got actually to be too big. Like I switched out of that because the DVR capability. But see, that's the other thing. If you don't like it, you can move on and find something to customize it to your taste. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of streaming right now. Besides all the, you know, it might seem confusing that there's so many choices, but there are so many choices. And if you really dig down, it might not be too good to be true that you can find something of exactly what you want and only pay a fraction of
what we used to pay.
The cable cost.
Yeah, sure.
So how do you watch your Big Ten sports now?
Anywhere at all. On my phone, on my laptop, on computers.
But what service do you,
have? I'm sorry. The service that I use right now is, at least until January 30th, is PlayStation View.
Yeah, PlayStation View.
And I think I will go to, I've decided that YouTube TV, I think, is my next stepping point. But, and it's funny because PlayStation View, they just don't care anymore. They, it's like you're watching a show and it'll end and another show will start in its place. It's like watching, like, you know, when your brother used to record over your stuff on the VCR. It was kind of like that. Like you're watching something and something else comes on. And then it'll skip to the end of the game and you see the final score. You're like, oh. So it's like a severe case of senioritis for PlayStation View. They just, they've turned off all effort to make it a customer-friendly environment. And so I'm just from a company corporate perspective, like a business looking perspective, I think that's really interesting that they just don't put any resources towards that. But I would go to YouTube TV.
I have a fun story about YouTube TV. I had some friends over. We were going to watch football, and my cable box was not working. Certain channels weren't coming in. We could get CBS, but we couldn't get ABC and NBC. So,
which is drastic if you're watching college football.
Sure. Yeah. So I was struggling to find a solution. I could watch these channels on my computer through a web browser, but I couldn't watch them on my TV through my cable box. So I tried to cast from my computer to the TV, but my computer and my Xbox were on different networks, so it wouldn't do that. My Xbox was not recognizing the wireless networks, and I almost gave up and just ran a 25-foot HDMI cable from one box to the other. And my friend says, I have YouTube TV. Let me just sign into that. And we signed into that, and it worked. The picture was gorgeous.
You cast it into your...
To my TV, through the app. So I downloaded the app on the TV, and it worked great. And so I was kind of thrilled. It was real funny because he's from Indianapolis, and they would have, like, local TV weatherman commercials for people I hadn't seen before. And, like, Indianapolis local colleges commercials were on instead of the usual, you know, Chicago fair that we get around here. But, yeah, it I was in trouble. Cable was failing me, and YouTube TV saved the day.
No, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
So YouTube TV has channels like a regular cable service?
Has local channels for where you are. And so, like, since he's a subscriber and he added me to his family for a moment, I was, like, part of his network, his family. And it's a little generous. I think you can stream at, like, three devices at once. Mm-hmm. So, like, different people throughout the same house can all watch a different channel. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of devices, I think, for almost the cheapest option in these cord cutter services, only $50 a month right now.
Do you know if they limit by, like, the location that you're connecting from? Like, if it was three streams, but one of them was in Indiana and one of them was here and one of them was in Michigan, would that be a problem?
I don't know, but I think, like, since he's the primary on the account, they know his location and they set it to that location, which is why we were watching his channels on my TV a state away.
Sure, sure. Well, and I guess it brings up an interesting point because I'm curious about whether or not there was some recent articles about how Disney Plus is trying to advise its subscribers to not overly share their password and get too out of hand because they have a way of watching. And it's like, well, of course, you know, from a technology standpoint, you can tell, you know, maybe from which device, how many devices are registered to an account or something like that. That's a pretty easy one. Like, most accounts will even show you how many devices you have registered. But I think, you know, Netflix, I like how Netflix has the family type of plan where it's known that you're going to share it and you have these individual profiles for different members of your family.
And you pay for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pay for the 4-user tier instead of the 2-user tier after my sisters and I all tried to watch it one time and then there was a blowout over who had to stop watching over text. But it's interesting when I hear about YouTube TV and things like that because I've never paid for TV in any of my adult life. Like, my parents didn't have cable, and then I didn't really watch TV that much in college. And after college, I just had Netflix. So I've never really had any type of, you know, channel, never paid for any type of channel service. And now I have Netflix and Amazon Prime. And I recently just got the one free trial month of Hulu because I was watching this show, a Scandinavian drama, on Hoopla, which is one of the free library services, but they didn't have the 4th season, and Hulu did. So I was like, I'll sign up for a month, put my reminder to cancel it after a month, and I was watching it, and then I was like, I forgot Hulu had commercials. And I thought, I haven't watched commercials in years on TV.
Sure.
It had been years and years, and it was so funny to me how I just got used to never having commercials, and I was like, how dare they? How dare they interrupt my sure. TV show with something else?
Even YouTube, to a certain extent, like with ad blockers, and different things allow you to bypass ads. And so if you're on, like, a computer that doesn't have an ad blocker, it can often be jarring when you're like, wait, I'm actually watching an advertisement right now, not the video I want to watch. But, yeah, it brings up an interesting point that so much of TV – maybe pre-cable is commercials. And then when you think of cable, when I originally thought of cable, I thought no ads. But now it seems like cable is just tons of ads. It's just, it's like the live TV experience is synonymous with ads, it seems like. And unless you're talking about shows that are paced without that timing, the cutaway timing for advertisements. But I only have Amazon Prime is the only one that I pay for. And then I have the subscription that I share for Netflix. So I'm not necessarily feeling like I'm hurting for looking for more shows to watch. I feel like there's a lot on Amazon Prime I could watch, but I don't necessarily get around to watching. So
I might be leading the pack with 5 services. Amazon Prime, Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus, and the WWE Network, which is their own programming, which is not available anywhere else for the most part. So that's like $60, right? Between $40 and $60 we're talking about, if I do the math real quick. In addition to what I am paying for live cable, I pay for HBO through cable. So while I'm not paying for HBO now, I am paying that same amount of money for HBO and have access to HBO Go as a result, neither of which are HBO Max, which is coming out next year.
In that, like, most confusing rollout ever.
Yeah. So I'm at a point where I'm starting to think about cutting back. Like, do I really watch Netflix? Like, do I really watch Hulu every month? Or is a couple of months enough and then get caught up and then cut it loose and then come back? I'm starting to get into a place where I'm going to be rotating services, I guess. Like, you know, hey, it's May, it's Netflix month, you know, and catch up on documentaries or, I don't know,
Do you think that as more people start doing that, now that there's so many different streaming services, the companies are going to start locking us in to, you know, X amount of months, like the cable companies?
I would assume so. I don't know, but I would assume so.
There's, I think for Disney, if you cancel, you can't sign up for 60 days or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Some sort of like, you know, you can't come back to it. Mm-hmm.
The next week or whatever.
But that would still fit within your schedule, right? Because sure. You could like cancel it and then 90 days later, oh, you know, I'll 6 months later, I'll check it out again.
I think they're going to go back to, because Disney Plus does weekly releases, the old TV model, instead of just binge a season at once. I think that's going to be the way that they lock you in, is because all of The Mandalorian is not available. Only two episodes were available in the first week, one on launch day and then one on the Friday. And then they're releasing new episodes every Friday of all those original shows.
So if you wait and then sign up for it and then watch them all and then – Yeah.
But they have so many shows that I want to watch on Disney Plus, like one right after the other. It's going to be 2 months, January and February, and then 2 months, April and May, and then 2 months – July and August, something like that, right? Between WandaVision and Loki and Winter Soldier and Falcon and What If, and I could keep going.
So Disney Plus, you'll just keep forever.
Disney Plus, I might keep forever.
Is that new? Is the fact that a TV channel essentially is releasing shows like this new for TV? Because I feel like usually it's like this is the season for TV. September maybe is the season for like a lot of new shows.
Sure.
Have TV shows done this before? Are they trying to do something new? Because the way I have some notes jotted down about Mandalorian and the way that that's even being released on a weekly basis. It's a very different show. I don't know if you guys have seen any episodes, but maybe we'll have to talk about once it's all released and then we'll have more of a conversation. But
so is your question, is that like something that's happening now, or is it the way it's always been?
Yeah, is Disney doing that new, or are they in doing that type of like new show, but spacing them out for their own like longevity? Is that on purpose?
Like that's how TV used to be, right?
Yeah,
it used to be a new show every week back in before cable on broadcast TV. That's the way it was. And then Netflix kind of turned everything on its side with, we'll just release the whole season. You can watch as much as you want. And now it's like we're going back to the way that it was, because it keeps people engaged week after week instead of one weekend and then you cancel.
Are you talking about the launch of each?
Yeah, I'm kind of talking about those individual shows popping up as new launches.
Oh, okay.
It's almost staggering them to correspond with the sunset, like the release of each one.
I see, because there used to be like summers off, right?
Yeah.
Like there used to only be reruns in the summer.
The longest summer.
But now.
It's my youth, yeah.
Like Disney Plus has content scheduled for the next 2 years that I'm interested in. HBO is exceptional at this as well, with new shows on Sunday night. Always turn out to be really good. And there's, you know, Game of Thrones is over. What am I going to watch? And
Succession
comes out. Maybe I'll watch this. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is – I have to keep subscribing to HBO because this is good too. And, you know, now Watchmen is spinning up and – Yeah, like that's what keeps me engaged with HBO. That's going to keep me engaged with Disney Plus, and that's why I'm not engaged in Netflix. I don't watch it every week.
So is it we're doing episodic shows? The emphasis on there, and it used to be, hey, watch. Like I remember as a kid, like HBO, and like those are like the movie channels.
Yeah.
Oh wow, you can watch these movies in your house.
Yeah.
And now it's like movies.
Yeah.
Who's got like an extra hour and 49 minutes to spare? Like now these are like 52 minutes long. And if that, like you can always find like the Good Place on Netflix for if you have like a half an hour to fill somewhere, you can watch an episode of that and be out. So
sure.
I just think it's really interesting how it used to be like the draw was movies. And now it's like, oh, yeah, we've got a series.
Yeah. And the series are what's happening, right? We're seeing $500 million for Seinfeld. Right? And The Office and Friends and South Park. Like, that's the draw. It's not, oh, we got the Warner Brothers catalog or anything like that, or the Columbia catalog. It's, oh, we got this show, this 150-episode, 250-episode show that people can keep coming back to or whatever.
My question is the 26-episode TV show dead? Because all the Netflix shows and things like that, they're all like 10 episodes, 8 episodes, 12 episodes maybe. What about, you know, how sitcoms used to be like once every week for 24, 26 weeks? Will we ever have that many episodes in a season?
I don't know.
Maybe they'll
It doesn't seem – the popular shows don't seem to be that way. The huge shows, the Game of Thrones, are not that way. Simpsons is still that way. They're still putting out 22 Simpsons a year, mm-hmm. right, on Fox.
Maybe the cost, like the production and the energy is all poured into those fewer episodes, mm-hmm. but yeah. you get mm-hmm. a better return out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
And maybe I would rather have 12 episodes of awesomeness rather than 22 episodes of not so much awesomeness.
Right. Mm-hmm. The old filler episodes of our, yeah.
Right.
Of those dog days of TV.
Right. Like my week was made or broken by my favorite TV. And I'm like, oh, that was such a terrible episode. What am I going to do for the next week? And, now you're just like, okay, click, you yeah. know.
Watch
like,
the next one fact, or watch something
else. You
don't
even have to touch anything. It starts, you know,
yeah.
for you.
I wonder how that changes how you pace a narrative when you don't have that expectation of a week in between mm-hmm. versus most people are just going to wait for the next one to start after mm-hmm. for shows like Netflix where it is released all at once. Because you still have cliffhangers and things yeah. like that, but it's not in terms of water cooler moments and things like that. Yeah. You're not waiting.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you need more cliffhangers in the binge episodes mm-hmm. because they want you to watch them all and they want mm-hmm. you to, you know, keep clicking through to the next episode. Mm-hmm. The way it used to be, well, TV was so sparse. It was just like, you know, it's Thursday night. I got to watch what's on.
Mm-hmm.
And you would just watch it and hope that it's good. And now it's like, oh, we got to keep them engaged. We got to keep them watching our show and not let mm-hmm. them watch a different show on a different service. It seems like it's a lot more like meant to engage, and they're fighting over services and they're fighting over subscription fees.
But do you feel like individual shows that are released all at once get less hype because it all, you don't have to talk like Game of Thrones. We were all yeah. like, what's happening next?
Yeah.
You know, theories, there's all these articles about your theories and we don't have theories.
I think so.
When about, everything comes out.
About Stranger Things.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, when you think about like the media that pops up, like podcasts and YouTube channels mm-hmm. about just the last episode that happened and how much content is made just around how much chatter and, you know, like, yeah, I mean, I think something like Game of Thrones, I feel like they had the space to not think about that, right? Mm-hmm. They just thought, well, we're going to have to release this many episodes and this is the format. But I think Netflix is probably really mindful that people just want to, they're in it to like get the story or get, you mm-hmm. know, get to the end and enjoy it that way. So it is interesting. I wonder if Netflix is going to backpedal on that and change how they release things and if they'll have an upset user base, like if their fans will hate it. Like, can you imagine Stranger Things not releasing on one day? What would happen?
The Great British Baking Show released every Friday the okay. last season. So that was the first time I'd seen on Netflix something mm-hmm. released sequentially.
So maybe they're going back. Maybe that was a test to see.
Well, I think it's because they used to wait till the following year, but then the show became so popular that people would find out even though it happened sure. in Britain. So they wanted yeah. to release it live.
Oh,
so
okay.
that's why.
So that kind of motivated that.
Yeah.
So what are we watching? Has everyone signed up to Disney Plus? Are you excited for it? I know I was and am.
I want to talk about Disney Plus just really quick because I watched the first two episodes of Mandalorian, liked it. Don't really feel like there's much to talk about in podcast format unless we have more of a show to talk about because it's only two episodes. But that definitely seems like a show that's like it's meant to be released one week at a time and yeah. it's meant for water cooler kind of stuff. But there hasn't been that much like shock value necessarily.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, maybe at the end of the first episode. And I was appalled because I was like, someone spoiled it for like the entire table when I sat down to play some magic and someone just spoiled like the end of the first episode. And I was like, wow, you read the wrong social media post and regurgitated that because now you just spoiled it for the whole table. But the only other thing that really excites me on Disney Plus right now, and I looked around and I thought, well, this is very seasonal besides Star Wars because Star Wars is exciting. Is there was like a, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas. And I didn't put it on because I've seen it so many times. And I started it and I was like, nah, not really doing it. So I ended up watching Force Awakens. And I was like, okay, this is because this is all timed perfectly to wind up to the hype around Star Wars, mm-hmm. The movie that's going to release in theaters real soon. So I watched that. And then I had to go to Netflix to watch The Last Jedi because it's not on Disney Plus.
I noticed
that. I'm good. And now my subscription, my 7-day trial is over. So I'm not going to re-up. But thanks, Disney Plus.
What made you decide you don't want, just because there weren't enough things that you wanted
yeah,
to watch?
Like yeah, I like the idea, but I think also just having a catalog means I'm going to like artificially create a demand that I want to be watching any of this mm-hmm. stuff. Because I didn't really think that I needed that much more Disney in my life before, so why do I need it now? I think that's kind of the main thing. I mean, I want to keep up on Mandalorian, so we'll see. It might just be as easy as like your roommate has the same password, you don't have to pay for it. So, or he has the same address as you, so you can get by that way.
I am disappointed that you didn't give The World According to Jeff Goldblum a try because that show is tremendous. That was the first show that I watched, believe it or not. Not The Mandalorian, but The World According to Jeff Goldblum on Disney Plus. And if you love Jeff Goldblum being a weirdo.
I do. I can't really say anything negative because I haven't seen the show, and that would be bad taste to like knock something out.
They let him off the leash to just be as weird as he can possibly be. And it's also just interesting. So it's like a mini documentary. Just bam, here's 30 minutes about shoes. And there's like three segments, kind of like drive-ins, dives, and diners. Those wrong order, but you know, where they go to three different restaurants and they try three different things or whatever. So Jeff Goldblum goes to three different places, and he goes to like Adidas Research, and he goes to Sneaker Con, and he goes to a private artisan sneaker maker. And so like these people are weird and fascinating, and this culture is weird and fascinating. And then Jeff Goldblum, it just like wanders through it and just like marvels at everything. Like his amazement is my amazement. But it's all the weird facial expressions and words and mannerisms that you've come to expect from the man. And like that show's a delight. If, if Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars don't do it for you, there's still hope on the National Geographic channel on Disney Plus. The World According to Jeff Goldblum is pretty good.
Okay.
But again,
all right, I'll have to check it out.
I would have binged that, but I can't. They're doing them week by week. So
yeah.
Is everything week by week? Every single show?
The originals are.
Okay.
The old stuff you can binge. Mm-hmm. The 90s X-Men cartoon is on there. So if you just want to watch like a random episode or a bunch of episodes of that, you can do that. And then, you know, the movies, obviously. And the Disney Channel stuff is all there in complete collections.
I do not have Disney Plus, and last week I definitely was like, I don't need Disney Plus. And then everyone kept talking about Disney Plus, mostly here at the library. And now I'm like, I never really watch Netflix anymore. And then I texted my family because we all share our Netflix. And I was like, what if we take a break and try out Disney Plus? And also, I think I'll definitely be more motivated when my daughter is a little older and wants to watch because they have so much.
They have like, all the old stuff.
Yeah, so much family content. Yeah. So have your kids been loving it, Joel?
I was just about to say that my kids are the ones who really have time. All of this is a fantasy for me because I'm in graduate school, so that even the thought of watching TV makes me. But the kids are the ones who have time, and they're the ones who they're watching Chasing Monsters on Netflix. It's a fishing show. It's kind of like River Monsters, only. And it's a different.
Only in lakes.
Hmm?
Only in lakes. But,
right.
Sorry.
But it's a really great show, and I love it. And it's really a great glimpse into different cultures. It's not just about the fish. It's about like him, oh, I'm in this African village and this is what they eat for breakfast and this is how the family structure is built up. And he always ends up around a campfire drinking with like whatever culture it is. And it's really kind of funny. But so Disney Plus, we've only watched the Marvel movies. We're slowly going through the MCU. And we went back and hit Ant-Man because the kids have seen Ant-Man and Wasp, but they've never saw Ant-Man. It's really the next one, Civil War, so we're going to watch that. And it's nice not to have to, okay, go get the DVD from, like, not that it's that big of a deal, but it's nice to be able to just, you know, click, oh, here's the movie that I want to watch. Let's do this.
Sure.
And those Disney VHSs were always so much bigger than the other ones. Yeah. Like, they're puffy, like VHS wrapper or whatever. I just remember it taking up so much space all over VHSs.
There's all the classics on The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's always a good holiday watch, so that I was happy to see that. We don't have to worry about finding that one. We can just do that. So to me, I guess like a value is convenience. It's being able to just sit down, click, 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 oh, this is it, and then watch. But on the other hand, on the flip side, there's always a flip side with me. There's information overload. You know, I've spent the amount of one hour long like episode, like 52 minutes of like The Last Kingdom I could have been watching, you know, but I spent that time watching, flipping through Netflix shows like, well, what's this one and adding stuff to my watch list and then you'll realize it's like an hour later and you're like, wait a second, I just spent a whole hour doing this and I didn't watch anything. Maybe that says more about me than anyone else, but it's just it's kind of like the amazing amount of like what's out there. And I can't just stop and get myself involved. Like, there's always something else better around the next corner.
It's hard to shut out the whole, I want to maximize my potentially my potential gains from this because I'm spending a little bit of money each month anyway. And I want to maximize how much content I consume on it. And it's hard to be like, I like the things I like and just stick to those.
Yeah. Well, and it's nice, too, because being a student, I do get Prime student.
Yes. Which so is nice. The price of actual Prime.
So my reward would be to watch Man in the High Castle season 4 when it, which has been out, but I haven't been able to watch it in good conscience. So,
something that came up last time we talked about Man in the High Castle that I think we should maybe possibly revisit is it's not on DVD and like and it's not on Blu-ray, and it's like, is it ever going to be? It's one of those questions. I don't know if we really came to a consensus back then, but it seems like this Disney Plus stuff might remain digital forever, which is just scary because it just means access is like less.
Because we have people come to the library and say, I've heard of this show, which is on Netflix, and we just don't have it, and we don't know if we ever will because of that. So there are a lot of people.
Ozarks was just brought up last week.
That's the one I was thinking of, too, because another person asked about that.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon, right? We get a lot of requests for that DVD, and it's like, it's not on DVD.
Right, so working in a library, it's kind of upsetting.
Yeah, because we want to provide access.
Exactly. We want people to see, and you know, there are ways of going, like, how can we circulate a Prime movie account on a device so people can just take home, hook up to their TV and watch all this stuff. But that's where we have to go instead of like, oh, just the normal wait for the DVD to come out. You're right. That's a great point.
Well, and it's like, it's not like the library doesn't also pay for this access to this material. It's like, we're not trying to like rip off the creators that are doing this. We are actually trying to be their patrons as well and get them onto our shelves so that they're creations can be discovered, et cetera. But
yeah, we'll pay the money. Please, let us pay you the money. Yes.
Is it not profitable to print DVDs anymore, I guess?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I think it's just the Blu-rays and the... I think it's just license. Like we want to release. We don't let the cat out of the bag.
You know, they're actually cutting back on Blu-rays and Blu-ray players because that has not been popular. Fewer and fewer companies are making players because the people that want them have them and the people that don't won't, so... It's like it's just down to Samsung or something like that. They're the only DVD player in town anymore because it kind of like was supposed to be the next big thing, but then streaming turned out to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
So then we don't own anything anymore, like with music and stuff like that with Spotify.
Yeah, was that I remember back in the early 2000s where that was the complaint was like, I want to own things. Mm-hmm. I want to have these licenses. I want to have these physical things in my hands. And then over 20 years... The benefits of streaming got so good that we kind of gave up on that argument, I feel like.
Yeah, because you own nothing, but then you have access to almost so everything. Much. Yeah.
It's interesting you're talking about like what's on your list and what you can watch and can't, and you're busy with so many things. But I have a weird problem, and it's like a delayed gratification. I have not seen El Camino, and I have not seen Better Call Saul, because I hear it's good, and I love Breaking Bad. And I'm enjoying this, I can't wait until someday I get to watch it feeling. And I love that feeling. So I don't pull the trigger and watch Better Call Saul because I'm just like, I can't wait to watch that show someday. And I do that with a lot of stuff. It's kind of weird to me because it's just like, I have a list. I have an actual graph in my Google Drive of don't forget to watch these shows. And I open it up every once in a while. I'm like, oh, that show. I can't wait to watch that show. That'll be a good time.
But are these like... 8 and 9s on your expectations, and if it's a 10, will you watch the show immediately? Or are there things like that are your favorites that you still will delay?
Kind of both. Okay. A little bit of both, because like I say, like Jeff Goldblum is what I watched first because I wanted to wait for The Mandalorian. I wasn't ready yet. I needed a few days before I could start that. Yeah, like it's I almost don't want this good thing yet because the anticipation is too good. That feels too good to me. It's too much fun to imagine what it's going to be like. And maybe it's terrible. Maybe I'll hate it. And that would be sad. And I don't want that to happen. So let's stay here where I get to imagine that it's good. I don't know.
We have very different TV watching.
Yeah, no.
It's not much really different than putting up like a special bottle somewhere or like your favorite like dessert or something. I don't know. Just to have somewhere for the right time.
Yeah, but like conversely, I already have tickets to Star Wars and I'm not going to wait on that one.
Right.
I'm going to, you know.
Well, I do feel like there's things that I feel like I'm not in the correct mood for, so I'll wait for that.
Yeah, I do that too. Yeah. Certainly like, you know, oh, I should wait until I need a comedy before I watch this comedy or something like that. You can't just watch it. Like you have to be like somehow prepared for it. That's absurd, right?
Well, you can, feel like that.
Yeah. And you can save money that way. That is the library trick, actually, is if you're okay with waiting like a full like 8 month cycle or whatever it is, a year to get the next season of Star Trek, like I, you know, because I haven't seen season 2 of the new Star Trek reboot, but now it's on DVD and like you can just get it at the library. And so I've never had to like subscribe to that service. It's just there the nice thing is when you do have it on DVD, you can just watch it. Very bingeable. I don't know. I think that the payoff is a lot there. Like, I don't know that I know that enjoying things in real time is fun, like, as they're coming out. But I, you know, it's not even practical to try to do that with all your shows. Like, it's just not practical.
There's also the point of the hold coming in at the exact wrong
time.
Like, you have like family coming in for Thanksgiving, and
or they all come in, you know,
right? And you didn't suspend your hold for that week period. Right. Come on, Joel.
But like, I'll have video games. I'll have three video games on hold, and then all three of them come in. And I'm like, well, I can't play all three at the same time. I can only take one of these. And which one do I take home now?
I think the only drawback for that, for waiting, is if it's something that's really popular and you know it's going to be spoiled for you. Yeah. And it's something that's very, you know, spoilers will spoil it, kind of a thing.
Such as Endgame or Star Wars Rise of Skywalker or something like that.
Whereas other things that don't necessarily hinge on stuff like that or aren't so... The cultural saturation isn't so much that you have to avoid every website for forever.
Well, and it's like sports, too, where if I have four different sports events throughout the course of the weekend that I want to watch, I watch them chronologically because today's flow of information, right? Because the sports ticker at the bottom.
Yeah,
if you're watching the fourth game, you're going to find out the scores of the other three games.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe not, like, because one might be a hockey game that happened on Saturday. You're not going to see that on the ticker in football on Sunday. But I've even like arranged like playing cards in the bottom of my TV to like eliminate
your own sensor.
Because in preseason football, you're watching that, and it happened like yesterday, but they're re-showing it. Yeah. They'll show the score on the sports. Like, why would I want to know the score if I'm watching the game? So I developed that. But it's just, I'm a huge non-spoiler person. Like, I like to see how things develop. I like to see, and especially in sports, and it's terrible.
You know, and this is kind of a tangent, but this actually reminds me of why I'm actually okay with waiting for His Dark Materials, is because it's a book, and the end is already written, unlike Game of Thrones, where the end wasn't written, and it could very easily be spoiled. So I'm thinking to myself, like, when I had paid for HBO through Xfinity, this year I stopped HBO, and it's like, how much? It's over $100 you end up saving over the course of a year. And so just because I don't need to watch a single show as it's releasing. But then I can also, I can look at those. That's the great thing about HBO, is they do often make it to DVD or to Blu-ray. But
They still do a lot of that.
I'm also very anti-spoiler. I don't want to know something, even if it happens in the first couple scenes of something, just because I want to just be surprised. But then people are always like, okay, if it's a month later and you still haven't watched it, obviously you didn't want to watch it that much. So my sisters keep giving me, you know, like a timeline. Like, after 2 weeks, we're allowed to talk about this in front of you.
Okay.
But I still get mad about
still not what you want.
Yeah, I just don't like knowing things in advance. But it's hard, especially with Facebook and stuff like that. And people do not have good filters upon themselves of, like, put things in the comments or, you know, spoiler alert.
Yeah, Mandalorian did not last long.
But the interesting thing, I hear your mentions of your sisters, like, watching TV and exchanging and having the social aspect with family members. That's kind of a fun thing to do. I mean, even though, like, life takes us different places and your family members aren't all in your living room, you can still get the same satisfaction of, like, oh, I can't, but I know she's going to react to it this way. And then you'll get a text message, right? I'm sure. And you'll be like, I knew it, you know? And you just have that sense of, like, my family's still there for me. My friends are still there for me. And, like, you can interact with them about this. So I think that streaming has created better content, more interesting content, and allows more interaction.
Yeah,
more dialogue.
I think you're
right. More talk about it all,
Has anyone used Rabbit?
No.
Rabbit is this service where you can, kind of like screen sharing, so you can watch something together. You watch the same screen, but you can also, like, chat on the side. So members of my family will all stream the same thing, but we have, like, a chat box on the side where we can talk about it.
That's awesome.
We can see, like, little videos of each other. So, you know, if someone's having a bad day, the other person will be like, do you want to Rabbit something? So then we'll, like, watch a, like, you know, a comforting show we all like. And then we all can, you know, just see our little faces and we're like, ah, or something.
Yeah, that's great.
So that is a way I feel like it's brought us together, even if we're all in different places.
It's important. It really is. It's really cool.
That you can have those water cooler moments, not just the next day.
Those
or
kitchen
online,
table moments.
But together immediately with whomever you like, right? Well, I don't know if we've learned a lot about streaming services, but we've definitely talked a lot about streaming services for quite a while.
Yeah. Probably go on and on and on.
I'm sure we could.
Like, I know I haven't even mentioned Sling, and Sling, you know, I'm a seasonal early subscriber.
Proponent of Sling.
Yes, exactly. And it's sports and DVR, but also it does things. It's like not quite cable, not quite streaming.
Give a quick shout out to video games are doing this as well. You've got PlayStation Now and the Xbox Game Pass, where it's no longer buy a $60 video game off the shelf. It's subscribe to our service, and you have hundreds of video games to choose from and pay every month as opposed to pay once every little while. It fights against like the biggest console gamers' biggest demographic is dudes that buy Madden and Call of Duty, and that's it. They spend $120 a year on these two games, and that's it. And EA gets $60 and Activision gets $60, and that's the end. And so it's like, how can we appeal to these guys and get them to buy more and play more and things like that? So it's kind of trying to change the habits a little bit. Stadia came out, and apparently it's bad. That's real sad.
Yeah, you're excited about
might
that.
Get better. I was excited about Stadia. I was less excited about Stadia when I finally had the money. I'm like, here we go. I'm going to buy the Founders Edition. And they're like, okay, but you can't use it until December 3rd. And I'm like, I want launch day. And they're like, no, sorry. And I'm just like, well, no.
What is so. Supposed to be bad about it? And that's the Google video game.
The Google video game service is like an Xbox or PlayStation, but you don't have a box in your house. You hit the buttons on your controller. That information goes up into the cloud. And their servers do all the work. And then they send the images back to your TV. So you don't have to buy a $300 Xbox. Which is great theoretically, but apparently there's a lot of bandwidth problems. Mm. It changes resolutions and you get artifacts and stuff like that.
And that was the thing that they were trying to tout as like, this will not happen, right?
Yeah. And then it totally is happening. So maybe it'll get better, maybe not. Who knows? We'll find out. But for now, it was a disappointing launch. And like they also said, we're going to have 22 games. And they're like, sorry, no 12. That was sad. So.
Briefly, I also want to mention HBO Max is coming out early next year, and it is very confusing. The price point is $15, which is the same as HBO Now, which is their standalone streaming service, and it has a lot more content than HBO Now, but I feel like, why isn't HBO Now just becoming HBO Max? Because now everyone has to transfer over, but because of licensing things and stuff, and it's a different platform, it's run on different types of back-end stuff. So they'll be running HBO Go, Now, and Max. And they all have the same price point, but with different stuff available. And it just seems very confusing.
Yeah.
Right. And it goes to promotions, too, where you can have this for this amount of money, but if you already subscribed to this, then you can't do it. You know, so I think that might have something to do with it, where if you've already subscribed to HBO, that's a way of categorizing people. Oh, they have this, so they are subscribers to this.
Yeah, and there's different rules for if you subscribe to HBO directly versus through a third party like Hulu and Apple. It just seems like, you know, once these networks or streaming services have all these different contracts with different things, then it becomes so complicated and they have to do all these side things. And it seems like it's getting – I wanted things to get simplified, and now it just seems like it's just branching out and getting more complicated.
It's like a Hydra.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely getting more complicated. Like, there's still that hope I have that you only need two or three at a time. But I am not living that dream. I have five or six.
Plus cable. Yeah.
Plus cable. So we all need better streaming habits, maybe.
Maybe we're in a weird in-between phase. Like, we're getting...
Yeah, things will change.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Wild West phase. So speaking of Wild West phase, not there's doesn't really no connection to Apple TV, but can we talk about Apple TV? That's something I have not experienced. I wondered if anyone had any.
Well, I looked into it, $5 a month or something like that, and I mean it's supported by the major, you know, smart TV platforms, Roku, Fire Stick. Like, you could watch it on anything, right? And you know, you look at it and it's like on the surface it looks like it has like 10 shows and they're all Apple originals, but that's like almost all that it has. And that's the thing that might keep you from going to it. And then the one show that looked like an interesting like fantasy post-apocalyptic show was like not really rated well. And so it, and so I'm
that's
not,
the only thing I was half interested in about Apple TV. TV Plus.
The big marketing push. For it. I thought that was really interesting.
They don't have like that nostalgia factor of things that we already love and are excited to see again.
Yeah.
Because there was so much on social media I saw about Disney Plus and hardly anything I heard about Apple TV.
Yeah.
Although if you do go back and watch, like I watched Knight Rider on DVD and it was just it was like shake my head inducing the whole time. Like, I can't believe how like misogynistic this character was, mm-hmm. and you know, and where we've come from, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. you know, I'm kind of wondering, like, out of all of this, if someone wanted to watch, for instance, like say Alf, is there a platform they could watch that on? You know,
like the, I have no idea. I wish I knew though, but
right, or A-Team or something like that. Yeah. You know.
And Disney Plus doesn't have all of them, right? Like Song of the South, the more racist ones, they did not put.
No.
Yeah, Song of the South is not. Yeah. Dumbo is, and it comes with a warning.
Okay. Yes.
A outdated content warning mm-hmm. or something like that.
They have a blanket statement on the website, too, about some of these items mm-hmm. were made a long time ago,
yeah.
which is good that they mm-hmm. have that. And
better to have it and discuss it than pretend like it never happened.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
We can agree on that.
But it's interesting as these things keep getting released, then a whole new generation will be exposed to Friends again, like as it's a new thing, as it like switches over to new streaming platforms.
I saw a teen in the commons wearing a Friends shirt. The kids love Friends?
Yeah. My husband says yes. He teaches middle schoolers. And I was like, what are the kids watching these days? And he says, Friends in the Office. And I was like, what?
The kids are all right. They'll make it.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. But he says that's what they're watching.
There's always shows that you come back to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That are comforting.
Yeah. And I mentioned before, like if we're channel surfing with my wife and there's nothing on, we'll come to Seinfeld and we'll just kind of like leave it at mm-hmm. that because there's always something there. Like, oh, that's great. This is the one where whatever. And that happened in college too. We always wound up on Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. And did we mention the Canopy and the Hoopla and the RV Digital?
A little bit throughout. Yeah. So... Of course, if you are a Des Plaines Library patron, you have access to RB Digital, which includes Acorn. Acorn is a $5 streaming service, but you have it for free from the Des Plaines Public Library, and Hoopla and Canopy as well. Canopy has some outstanding movies we've talked about on the podcast before. All of that is free. If you're not a Des Plaines patron, maybe your local library has it. You should check into that.
Does Canopy have limitations? Because I know Acorn, you can watch whatever, and Hoopla, you can have 10.
Canopy is 10.
Canopy is 10 as well, okay. But I've been watching many things on Hoopla recently.
So oh, all right.
A lot of my Scandinavian dramas and mystery shows and stuff are all on Hoopla. Although 10 checkouts is just 10 episodes, so that's one season, so that's my whole month.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, there's plenty more out there you can mm-hmm. subscribe to and watch, new and old, comforting and exciting and original. So that's Minor Rex. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Jamie. We'll see you next time.